Thursday night, or L'chav Tes Adar Beis, a shir in Hilchos Mulchama, special shir in Hilchos Mulchama. Okay, everybody calm down. Okay, if you came to hear a political speech, a right-wing, rip-roaring political speech, you can sneak out now, I won't look at you leaving. It's going to be a regular shir, and you might be disappointed, because it's a shir. So I don't know what you thought it would be, but it's a shir. Bezus Hashem. Okay, first off, Dhamma. You know, the Torah is full of halachas, and you go through the day and you observe certain rituals. But also reflected in the rituals are values. And since the ghetto walls broke down and were exposed to the culture of the country we're in much more than we ever were, especially Western culture, so there's usually a conflict between the values of the Torah, which are not befeirish, you have to figure out what they are, and the values of the culture around you, which constantly bang at you that this is Rachmanos and this is Achzorius, and this is called pity, and this is called tzedakah, and this is called whatever, you know, you all know these things. So there's three choices. You could, and many people, maybe most, from people who follow halachas, but without even realizing it, adapt the culture, the values of society. That's one mahalach. A second mahalach is, we call it the retreat. In other words, I'm just going to withdraw from society. I'm going to protect myself from its values, but there's no effort put into figuring out what the Torah values are. I'll just protect myself from those values, and I'll follow the halachas. But of course, the best thing would be to figure out and to integrate, to internalize the values of the Torah, which are reflected by the halachas. Now, that's not as simple as it sounds, because there's a lot of journals out there, and a lot of books out there, and a lot of scholarship out there, and what ends up happening, if you read, or if you browse, then you see sometimes people, Talmid Chacham, I don't know if I should call them Talmid Chacham, scholars. So they adopt the culture of the Western culture, but then they try to show how the Torah has that. Like if you're against capital punishment, so you say, so really you adopted the Western culture against capital punishment. But then you say, oh, there's a Gemara in Makis, that Sanhedrin, that was Heirig once in a while, and then you just work everything out to fit into the box. And if you're liberal, Yiddishkeit is more liberal. And if you're conservative, Yiddishkeit is more conservative. And if you want to conserve the earth and this, so you look at Perikli Achbar and everything. So you really end up just, that's what they do, right? But you're not supposed to do that, because obviously, the Torah has its own value system, and you're supposed to. And somebody that's here now, let's say I end up showing what I believe is a Torah value system based on the halachas, but then people, they say, it's like the Dubna Magid, right? First you had the target, first you shot the arrow, and then you drew the target. So he's a right winger, so he worked on, and that, you can't tell. You have to go with the emes. You have to, I try to go back to the beginning and go through the Makairis and show what's Makairistic, what's Tyridic, and then you evaluate it. But I'm quite sure that of the scholars whose works I've seen in these last few days, so they would say, you shot the arrow first and then you drew the target around it. No, I'm not interested in pleasing them, but that's what goes on, and it's not so easy to tell. Hashem Echad means, based on Chavis Halavas, based on other ideas, that all values, of course, are taken from Hashem, who reveals all in the Torah. So there is no other value system. You don't try to match up your values with Western values. The Torah has its values, and that's Torah, and that's Hashem, and it justifies itself. It's not good to say, okay, this is what they say, but this is what we say, and let's see where it fits. I mean, you do that as a cheshbon, maybe, just to, but it's, you don't have to justify Torah. Torah is the Ratzon Hashem, and you don't have to justify Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem is its own raison d'etre. That's all. You don't have to, so you could have a machlokes, but if the Nerech HaMachlokes, it all comes from within the Torah, so it's sort of moving out, you don't inject. But that's an important point, that you have to start from ground zero. The Torah has its own justification. Whatever the Torah values there are, you don't have to justify the Torah. The Torah says to kill Amalek, you can explain it, but you don't have to justify it. Maybe justify it in a way, in other words, you want human seichel to understand it. As long as it's clear that that's what you're doing, and you're erlich, and you know that all you're trying to do is the sabras oizen, the way Rashi says. But not that there isn't any our justification. Ratzon Hashem is all the justification you need. Okay. Now, as I went through the Inyan Milchama, it's like everything else in Torah, Baruch Hashem. It's very, the more you delve into something, any prat you delve into, it's very mesubach, and there's a lot of shittas, and you can be mefalpel. Everything I'm going to mention today is really very simplistic, and maybe even superficial. You can be mefalpel, and writes for him on every prat to prat that I'm going to be talking about. It's impossible to do it justice in a short shiur. It's impossible to do it justice in a long shiur. It's Torah. Torah is Torah. It's ain't so. There's such a hamoin svarim. I'm barely scratching the surface, but I did reach certain maskanos to my mind, and that's what the shiur is about. Rashi Prakim, we'll call it. Rashi Prakim. Okay. What spurred me to say the shiur was really, was Arya Sonnenberg twisting my arm. No, but what spurred me to say the shiur was sort of a chance remark that I made to him. If I remember correctly, maybe I have the details wrong. And that is Mulchama is not Midin Raidif. That was always Pasha to me. There's a parish of Raidif in the Torah that deals with individuals. Reuven's coming to kill Shimon. It could be a guy coming to kill a Yid, or a Yid coming to kill a Yid. It's a Bajer Rav, Gemara Sanhedrin, Kama, other places. The Din of Raidif, the Din of Yatzilo, Afilu Ben Hafshah Shul Rodef, Raidif Achanar Maros is the same thing, Yachal Atzilo Bechel Meivorov, maybe the Nirdaf doesn't have to watch out to do it, Meichad Meivorov, that's the Parsha of Rodef. An adjunct of Raidif is Baba Machteres. If you know the din of Baba Machteres, so you can kill the ganav that's Baba Machteres. There it's already a chiddush. I mean, you have to go through the sugyos on Sanhedrin. I'm saying it again very superficially. Because he's not coming to kill me now. Because the Balabayas is going to react a certain way. So really, Baba Machteres has a built-in kasha. Maybe we should turn to the Balabayas and say, give him your money. You're not allowed to not give him your money and get killed. You're a pesheya. You're committing suicide. Go give him your money. So we don't say that. We say, and this is roi lefalpil b'fnei atzmo, I'm suggesting a svara. That's not the point of today's shiur, so I didn't really go through it properly. We say, listen, sometimes we used to go to Chevron, right, and the soldiers have to be Mechal Shabbos. Hopefully most of the time they're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos because of Pikuach Nefesh. That's okay, hopefully. But certainly some of the time they have to be Mechal Shabbos Taka. So we say, well, it's a waste to live in Hebron. But that's wrong. It's a wrong Ashkafa. You live where you live, if you're allowed to live there. You live there, and then if you have to protect your life, so you protect your life. We don't tell someone, don't live normally. Just, that's what I think. Could be Eiskebeit. You can be Eiskebeit from Boba Machtera. So we don't turn to the Balabas and say, hey, your money or your life. Well, don't be Jack Benny. Give him your money. What are you doing? So, no, we don't say that. We don't say that. We say that he has a din of a roidif because people act normally. And the normal thing is to resist giving up your money. And so he's going to kill you. So he has a din that he's coming to kill you right now. And he has a din of a roidif. That's an adjunct to the din of roidif, the din of Baba Machteris. We'll see if it has enough kamina in Mulchama, where something will eventually happen. But right now there's really no hechrich to say that he's a roidif now. But anyway, my remark was, sometimes you'll see women in their ninth month, they say, do I have to go to a house that a walking distance to the hospital? You know, so some people do that. But I say, no, you're living your life, you want to be home for Shabbos, you want to be in your house, you don't have to be oiker from your house. And then, if a matzav comes, that's bikuach nefesh, so you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, bikuach nefesh. You know, mechuyev to like do crazy things to avoid it. This is a dover tzorech iyun b'fnei atzmo. I just want to mention it because I'm going to talk about roidif, and Baba Machteres is a form of roidif, which I think teaches us that it doesn't have to be roidif this second, but if in the normal course of events he'll become roidif, so you can kill him now. That's a din of roidif. So I remarked to Arya, I forgot already the context, that Melchama's not roidif. Melchama's Melchama. You don't have to start declaring this one's going to kill me, and a Yachalatzila Bechad Meivarov, and maybe I should do this, and maybe I should do that, and maybe he's not going to kill me now. So it's not. You see in Shapsi Frankel that Hilchos Melachim is not called Hilchos Melachim. It's called Hilchos Melachim Umilchamois. There are way more psukim in the Torah about Melchama than there are about Shabbos, way more. And Melchama is a thing, it's a heftzah. I know there are those that argue with this. I'm arguing with them. Melchama is Melchama, and Melchama is a Yifas Toar, and Chil Shabbos, even if it's not Mamish, Pikuach Nefesh, as we'll see in a moment. And you're allowed to eat maybe macholas asuros in certain situations of mulchama and v'karosei le'ol shalom, and you're not allowed to be afraid when you're in a mulchama. There's a special love. You're not allowed to be afraid, and you're not allowed to cut down trees, and you're not allowed. And you have to. There's hilchos mulchama. That's a double portion. So I mentioned that. He said he saw someone at the protest with a sweatshirt that said "Abolhar kahashke mulhargo." I said, I think that's wrong. The definition uncommon. That's, you don't have to come on. Mulchama is its own universe, as we'll see in a second. I'll prove it soon. And you don't need for the din of mulchama. We'll see. You don't only go to mulchama over the gimel chamuros. So he get killed. Yeah, the Muhammad this Muhammad's a rishus. So good, you need Tumim, maybe you need. I say maybe, you'll see why I'm saying maybe. And you need Sanhedrin, and you need a Melech, but that's not matter to kill people. That doesn't make it into a roidif just because you have an Urim v'Tumim there. So who says it comes out? Who says you're allowed to go on a? Who says you're allowed to start a war? Muhammad's rishus, you're allowed to start a war. People get killed. So that's a double portion in my mind. And I saw in the Sefer, what's called Teres HaMelech. Teres HaMelech, for example, just, his whole approach to Mulchama is that it's Migdin Raidif. Someone's trying to kill me, I'm going to kill him first. I don't know, people went to the army. Who says you're allowed to go to the army and get shot at? Maybe. Who says, sometimes you go to a Gaish army. The German army is fighting the France army. It happened at a later period in history, Grata. At an earlier part of history, Jews never went to the armies of the countries they were in. Then at a certain point in history, they said, we want to show the loyal citizens so a Jew can end up killing a Jew, right? So that's not so poshut, you know. So anyway, but there's a din of Mulchama, and it has halachas of its own. It might be a chilek, Rabbi Gad Yosef, I think, also a chilek, if you're in a Jewish army. A Jewish army means governed by the halachas of the Torah, and you're in a Goyish army and you just enlisted, so that's an inyan b'fnei atzmai. Now, as I say, the Rambam's koteret is Hilchos Melachim u'Melchamos. There's a thing called Melchama. The first appearance of Melchama, by the way, in Chumash, is the Arba Melachim es Hachamisha. That's the first appearance of something called Melchama. And we'll see what it is, and we'll see something very interesting about that Melchama, Gufa. So it doesn't have the same Gedorim as Raidif, although they might run along parallel tracks. You know, if an army, it might run along parallel tracks, but it's certainly not totally Zebazeh. That's not what it is. There are those who suggest it's what it is, but it's not. Okay. Now, you have to have a yoted there, a yoted to dig out a bathroom, only in the Muhammad. You had a Mechal Shabbos, even if it's not directly to Kuach Nefesh. Okay. Now, there's a din of, for example, the Rambam and Hilchos Shabbos. Perek Beis, Halacha Chaf Hei. He says, Tzoren al Hayoros Hagoyim Shlosh Yom Kodim LaShabbos. You shouldn't go to war within 3 days of Shabbos. It's like not going in a Sfina within 3 days of Shabbos, because it won't be exactly Shabbos day, so you start a little before, you're used to it already. Once you start Melchama, you fight. Until Adridita, that's more in Shabbos. You don't have to go to this war, but there's a din of Adridita, plus Gemara on Shabbos. You learn out that you could be loichem even on Shabbos. Afilu b'Shabbos, that Melchama, so if you're in a Melchama, you fight on Shabbos too, even in Melchamas or Rishus. And the Rambam holds Melchamas Mitzvah also. Now the Tur says that in a Melchamas Mitzvah you can even start on Shabbos. Melchamas Mitzvah, you don't have to have the 3 days. Just like when you're going in the Sfina. So if it's for a Mitzvah, you can go on Friday. You don't have to wait the 3 days. So but that's interesting, because the Torah is talking about Melchama, and there's no room for Tumim. We're going to see. What's the Torah talking about? He's not talking about Melchama. No Sanhedrin, no Melech, no Urim v'Tumim, and he talks about Melchamas Rishus and Melchamas Mitzvah. You don't think the Torah talks like that. Okay. So, I want to start off with a few makoros to this yisod, we'll call it. One is that the Netziv in Bereishis, Bereishis, Pasuk Hei. Pasuk says, if you kill someone, Bachizdimchem unavsho seichem edrosh, miyot kalchai edroshenu, umiyad ha'odom miyad ish ochiv edrosh us nefesh ha'odom. So what do you mean, miyad ish ochiv? Says the Hamik Dover. Pirish HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emosoy odom nenash, when are you punished? When you kill someone, is b'shoa sheroi lino gachva, when it's ish achiv. So, achva, what are you killing him? Mashenki b'shas mulchama, where the pasuk in Kohelet says, eis laharog, you're in a mulchama, so you kill. Ve'ein onesh al zeh klal. Ki kach nosad ha'olam. This is the way of the world. There's a concept called mulchama, and you kill people. Ukadisa b'shvuas taflamet hay. The way Tosus learns the Gemara in Shvuas, that it's okay for the malchus to have up to 1/6 of his population die in a war. Talking about its own soldiers. It's more in Shavuos Taflamet. Hey, Malchusa de Kok lochad mi shisa lo mi enish. You make a cheshbon and up to 1/6 of the population get killed. That's twice the shot anymore. Rashi has a different shot. Vafilu melech Yisrael, and there, talking about just plain war, could be going. Vafilu melech Yisrael, muta lazul milchemes or rishus. Avu bishakami Yisrael, yehargu. People are going to get, people get killed in war. People get killed. So, he's medayik in the pasuk miyad ish achiv. That the only time there's, and otherwise the laws of Ritzicha push it suspended. There's other laws, that's the laws of Mulchama. In Dvarim, the Hemigdava says the same thing, in Dvarim Perek Chof Posuk Ches. Mio Isha Yori Varachai Levov, Yelech V'Yashov Lebeso, and he shouldn't make other people scared. So the Hemigdavar asks, maybe he shouldn't get himself killed. You're not a very good fighter if you're scared. So why do you have to, yourself? You're being masakin yourself. Why doesn't the Torah say you're being masakin yourself? Masakin with a samach. So he says, fascinating thing. He says, some people are depressed people and they want to commit suicide. But it's also, or they don't have the guts. So you know he likes to go to war. You know, mercenaries. I don't know, okay. You go to war, and then there's no issa. You're not committing suicide. You're joining a mulchama. Like he says in Gracious. Agorim sakonis nefashos. Ela mulchama shayni. Mulchama is mulchama. Ein issa la'odam lahachnas atzmo b'mulchama ulesakein atzmo. To put himself in sakona. Oh, but the problem is, you're going to mess other people up. L'yima says l'avechot k'levavo. That's what's wrong. That's an itziv. The Gurariye, we're going to get to more classic poiskim in a second. I believe that. The Gurariye by Shechem deals with the issue of how can they kill the people of Shechem. What did the people of Shechem do? This is Perek Lamed Dalid, Pasuk Yud Gimel. So he brings down the different Mefarshim, what they say. And he doesn't like any of the Biurim, the Maral. He asks kashas on the different Biurim. Then he says, Venira the like kasha midi. Klal not shver. Because Mishum the like, it's two umos. Bnei Yisrael and the Kanaanim were two umos. It wasn't individuals. Certainly, Kanaanim were individuals. But even the Bnei Yaakov at this point, says the Gurari, they were an umo. That's what they wanted, because it said in the Pesuk, "Vayinu la'am echad." So you see that before the planned marriages, they were two amim, because there's "Vayinu la'am echad." Ulefikach huter lahem lilchom. So you go to mulchama, kedin uma shebal lilchom al uma acheres. That's the way of the world. Of course, in halacha, you have to match the reasons for mulchama, but there's mulchamas or rishus also. If you have the proper thing, so he says, because it was Uma, I don't go into the prat here, but because my point is, he also says, there's a suspension of the normal rules when you go to Mulchama. Mulchama is a chefza bifnei atzma. Then he talks about how come you don't have to be Kari L'Shalom, there's a din of Mulchama's Nakama, like by Midyan, but the point is, there were two Umos, so what's wrong? You kill people. That's what happens in a Mulchama. Okay, Rav Moshe, just to show you the casual, Nigus Moshe, Yeridei Achelik Bey, Simen Kuf Nun Ches, he talks about a Kohen that was in an army and he killed people. So he says, Kriduchen, because he killed people. So he says, a Kohen that's forced to kill someone can certainly can certainly be nice kapot. It's a favorite shadin. She says, and that's even when there was really a din of Yorib al Yavar, and he wasn't supposed to kill, but he did. So because he's an onus, because that's the din. If it's even if it's Yorib al Yavar, you do it. You're an onus. So you're an onus. So he can still be nice kapot. Koshkein benil kach letzava sha'ad rabba. This is very fascinating. He's a citizen of the country. he has to go to the tzava. It's very interesting. He just casually says that. Okay, as I say, we're not going into the tens of protein that are going to be mentioned tonight. But he just casually says, you're going to go to the army. Because then I'm malchus. For he also shum iser. So he didn't do any iser by killing someone. Because now you're going to come. Sure, ashoi, we got mechui of Lisa Skapov, for who dover posha to borv. That's a Moshe. Sits Eliezer, not in Hilchus Medina. The good old Sits Eliezer. And Chelik, in two places, I mean, I only saw two places, then I stopped. Talks about this. Feirish, Sits Eliezer, very famous Shuvah Sefer. Chelik Yud Gimel, Simon Kuf. He talks about, he brings out the Gemara in Shavuos, that the Malchus can kill up to a sixth of its, can have killed up to a sixth of its population. L'manu b'zeh sh'amalchus o koach ha-sholeit ba'om, which echoes a Ramban, I'll bring down later. Melech is lav dafka. It's any sovereign over the nation. And they hold, you have to go to war. Rashoi l'achnes amrav l'sakonis mulchoman. Now you can talk about an evil war, like Nazi Germany. So I don't know, again, that you have to be mefalpel. What happens if your country is doing a clearly unjust war? So do you also mechuyev to join and you're allowed to kill people? So I don't want to go into that, but just listen that he says the melech o koach hasholei ba'om rashoi l'achnes amrav l'sakonis mulchama v'afidu b'mechenes o'rishus. That's even l'harchiv gvul Yisrael, the way the Rambam puts it down by Yidden. Then he brings down the Netziv over the embrasures that I just brought down. He says, how can you make everyone Muhammad's Rishus? Killing people? So he says, because this is a concept called Muhammad. That's in Chelek Yud Gimel Simen Kuf. In Chelek Yud Beis Simen Nun Zayin, he is more Mayrich Lachari and Nira, the Muhammad Shaini. You go to Muhammad and you're putting people in Sakona. In Yone Cloud, the Muhammad's Yitzimem me a cloud of a Chaybahem. Muhammad is a different, they're in a different world. The Yeshalumo is Elamokamach. Kachnos of Ha'olam, he says two Svaras. It's one of the, it's a concept. It's a concept in the world called Muhammad. And, or maybe he suggests that a tzibur or a medina is shiny, has its own rules. You're not talking about individuals, you're talking about a tzibur. So So that's very, very clear to me, at least. Can't get more clear than these Maram Mokaimus. Okay, so Milchama, Hilchos Malachim u'Milchamos. By the way, the Rambam says that the purpose of a king is to be Mamid Mishpat in the land and to go to Milchama. That's why he puts it together. What's to do with the king? He says, the purpose of having a Melech is to be Mamid Mishpat and to go to Milchama when necessary, when he deems it necessary. Okay, now, so that's part one is finished. Part one is that, unlike other Achrayim, unlike some sources I've seen, Muhammad is not a Balog Chahashkim Lahar. It's a, its own world, and it has its own rules. Doesn't mean you can always make Muhammad. You're not allowed to just, you have to have a reason, and we'll see, as we'll see. Okay. Now we're going to talk about Milchemes Rishus and Milchemes Chofa, different types of Milchama, with each with its different set of rules. This is all based on Soita Daf Membalad, approximately the end of the 8th Perek in Soita, and the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim. So in the Gemara, there's actually something called Milchemes Rishus and Milchemes Mitzvah. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's something called Milchemes Rishus and Milchemes Chova. It's difficult Gemara, just the way Rashi learns, and the way Tosfos, and the way the Meiri learns, but So I guess I should speak out the Rambam, in case you're not familiar with the Rambam. Okay. I mean, the Rambam is Perakei. That's where he starts talking about Mohammed. In a melech nilcham tchila el al mochemes mitzvah, meaning he doesn't have this permission, and he just goes to mochemes. Now, what's mochemes mitzvah? Shivas Amim, Amolek, and Ezras Yisrael mitzor shebo aleihem, from an enemy that, and this is going to be a machlekes achrayim, what the next two words mean, so I don't want to, it seems to be to me a machlekes between the Chazanish and the Aruch HaShulchan HaOsid. What it means, Shebo Aleihem. We'll see. And then there's Mulchemes HaRishus, which is Stam Laharchiv Gvul Yisrael. And even Stam to expand the land, to expand his malchus. Now, the Gemara talks about a different kind of Mulchama, and that's the Pellet. The Rambam doesn't refer to it. The Gemara seems to be talking about a preemptive war. Now, when you say a preemptive war, there's also different types of preemptive war. The Six-Day War, which I remember pretty clearly, you can call it a preemptive war, but I don't think it's called preemptive. There's a preemptive when they're about to attack you. It doesn't. In the Yom Kippur War, they didn't do that. They let people get killed before they fought back. They didn't want to do a preemptive war. But that's one type of preemptive war. Then there's a preemptive war, if Medina Israel now would decide to go to war against Egypt. Because they know someday, they decide, you know, through logic, through Svara, Egypt's going to attack them one day, so why should they wait? Let them do something to Egypt now, just to shake them up a bit, show them who's boss. They should be scared of them. So, we'll see. But the Gemara talks about going to war against Goyim so that they shouldn't attack you. That's the Gemara. And in the Gemara, there's actually a machlokes. If that's called, Chachomim call it Mulchemes Rishus, because there's no imminent danger now, so it's called a Mulchemes Rishus. And Lechor, if it's Mulchemes Rishus, it would need, we'll see, it would need Melech, Sanhedrin, and Urim V'Tumim. And Rabbi Yehuda holds it's mitzvah. If you do hold, it's called the Mulchemes Mitzvah. But it has Dinei Rishus, it's a mitzvah to do it. Now the problem is the Rambam doesn't talk about that. The Rambam doesn't talk about going to war against Goyim to thin them out, Lamait, like to show who's boss, to shake them up a bit, so that they shouldn't attack you. The Rambam doesn't mention the case at all. And he talks about going to war to save Ezras Yisrael Mitzar from an enemy, Shebo Aleihem. And the Rambam doesn't say Rishus Mitzvah Chova or Rishus and Chova. He seems to Paschal like Chachamim, which would be logical, Paschal like Chachamim, not Rabbi Yehuda, that is Rishus and Mitzvah. So Chavidus got lost. He doesn't talk about Lamait, and so that he doesn't talk about Lamait is not such a big kasha. You have to be magdir what Lamait means, as we'll see in a second. But if he passes like Chachamim by saying Rishus and Mitzvah, and Lamait is not a mitzvah, so it's Rishus, it's like, why should you speak it out? There's 100 cases of Mulchemes Mitzvah. Anyway, Lachora, you're going to ask the Sanhedrin, the Melech, and well, let me speak it out now because I didn't take good notes. Kataki Bakodesh. I'm just throwing this in now because I can't read my notes. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvah says that Melech is Lav Davka, like we saw in the Netziv. It's any sovereign. The Aruch HaShulchan HaOsid, I'm going through the thing. The Aruch HaShulchan HaOsid says you don't need Urim V'Tumim. It's not Ma'akev. It's not Ma'akev. The Urim V'Tumim is not Ma'akev. It's based because the Ramban doesn't mention the Urim V'Tumim. So it's not Ma'akev. Sanhedrin is l'chayim one of the requirement, but there are, I saw some achroinim suggest, because of the mashmos in Rishonim, that the function, it's not a religious requirement.
if you would know that the Ummah wants to go, and you don't have to force, if you don't maybe put people in the army against their will, but and the Ummah wants to go to war, then you don't need Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is just functioning as like the collective will of the people. If you learn the Sacha Sanhedrin, you'll see that many times Sanhedrin functions as the collective will of the nation. It's not just the Paskin Shilas. Okay, and to me, that's, if the Torah paskins that there's Mohammed Rishus, what's the Torah doing talking about Mohammed Rishus? It doesn't matter. What's he talking about Muhammad Bechlal? That's Bechlal in Indian. You don't need a Medina to have a Muhammad. Torah has no Medina. I don't know what you need to make a Muhammad. How big of a tzibur do you need to make Muhammad? I don't know. I didn't. These are all shilas that come up. Do you need a Medina to make Muhammad? So for the tzivitz mashma, you need an Ummah. For the morales mashma, you need an Ummah. If you don't have two Ummahs, then it's automatically you just have a din of a yachid. And Muhammad's Ummah. So then you would, then Habol Arkha would kick in. I mean, in Hilchah Shabbos, you have a din, good old Shulchan Aruch. Nobody's talking Medina, nobody's talking Sanhedrin. It says, if an enemy comes, I know I'm flying around. Too bad. I can't read my notes if I stay up all night. If an enemy, this is a famous din. If an enemy comes on Ore Yisrael, I don't know, that means even in Europe. If there's Ore Yisrael, Muncie. If they come on Muncie, enemy comes and they want to attack Muncie. So if they come al Iske Momen, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. If they come al Iske Nefashos, then certainly you go out and you fight them and you Mechal Shabbos. And if you're an Ir Hasmuchal Sapor, if you're a border city, meaning if they capture this city, they're going to keep going to other cities. It's like it's an opening to other cities. They capture Muncie, next thing you know, they're in Spring Valley. You know, I don't know, I'm trying to give a model. Shulchan Aruch didn't have a Medina, didn't have a Melech, didn't have anything. So you talk about Ori Yisrael, and so if you're like the border city, it has a name, I think. Like you're like it says about Yericho. Yericho was the Minol of Eretz Yisrael. That was the, so he says there, then even if they're coming for Momen, you can be Mechal Shabbos. Because you can't take any chances. Now, I don't know how to be Magdarit. Is it Muhammad? So, what Muhammad? What Ummah? Muhammad's Rishus, Muhammad's Mitzvah? Is it Tsar HaZara land? Is this Muhammad? So maybe it's like Baba Machteris, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe this is not talking about Muhammad. It doesn't say the word Muhammad in Shulchan Aruch. Then he says, Yesh Mishayim, this is an Hukha Shabbos. Shibizman Azeh, it's for sure going to end up with Iskei Nefashos, because Klal Yisrael's prestige pretty well. It was like in the, right smack in the middle of the Golos, when the Beis Yosef lived. So if you let them come in and be Buzz Yimomen, it's going to end up with Nefashos. They're not going to be satisfied with just Yimomen. So even, you don't have to be a border town. If they come to be Shoyal Yimomen, so I don't know. So that means, in a pogrom where it looked like they're only coming for Momen, but you realize in Mechal Shabbos, because if it's so, maybe that's like Baba Machteris. That's what I'm thinking. You know, this would be categorized as, you don't have to only look at the present, you're allowed to look at the future and project what's going to be. You're going to let them take your money, and then for sure the Mishnah Berurah says, there's going to be one guy that starts fighting with them. There's always that guy that, you know, he's not giving up his money. So they're going to kill him. So that's why everybody can be Mechal Shabbos to fight them, because so it sounds to me a little like Baba Machteris. But the Torah talks about Mulchemes Rishus and Mulchemes Mitzvah. And so like I said, the Ramban says clearly you don't need a Melech, any sovereign power. The Chashulchan Osid says Urim Tumim is not Ma'akev. And there's a Svara that Sanhedrin, so we're talking about now Mulchemes Rishus. But now, here's the main issue that comes up when you talk about these things, are that the Gemara says a preemptive war to stop the Goyim from attacking is Rishus, even if you're allowed to fight him, it's Manaseh. But it's Rishus. And the Rambam says it's Mitzvah. So certainly there's no need for Melech Sanhedrin or anything else. So the Chazon Ish learns in the Rambam that they Habo'im Al Yisrael means they attacked. But I don't think the Chazon Ish holds you have to do like Yom Kippur war. I mean, first of all, that's absurd. You have to wait. You have to let some people get killed first, like Kissinger did in the Yom Kippur war. Let them get bloodied first, he said. That's absurd. Also, in his contrast, when he says, you don't have to, Chazon Ish says, it's in Hilchos Erev, and I have the Maror Mokom, he says, the Rama means, bo alecha kvar. But then he says, Masha ain kain, and then he describes terrorism, but before there was an intifada, he describes terrorism that the Goyim, whenever they have a chance, they grab a yid and they kill him. That's the Masha ain kain. So right now, there's no imminent danger. But, you know, every once in a while, the Fedayin it used to be called. When I was growing up, they used to, like, make forays. So I would call it not an intifada, which is really a declaration of war. But, so when the Chazon Ish, he doesn't say the Yom Kippur Matzav, but you have to let them shoot first. I mean, it can't be he means that. If he means it, he means it. But I want to point out that when he contrasts it, he says, when they're not killing Jews, they just, every once in a while, they want to show that they're, you know, big shots, and they go and kill the Jew when they can. That would be, and you go, and you attack them, you don't have defensive, you go and you attack them. He says that's what's called Mulchemes HaRishus in the Gemara. And the Rambam, he doesn't say why the Rambam doesn't speak that out. The Rambam doesn't have to speak out every Mulchemes HaRishus. So he was Kvar Bo. Dor HaShulchan HaOsid says clearly, not like the Chazon Ish. He says, when the Rambam says, Mitzor HaBo Aleihem, it means you have good reason to believe that they're going to be Bo on you. If not today, then tomorrow. So I would say, if Israel would attack Egypt today, if Medina Israel would attack Egypt today, or Jordan, then I would say that's Mulchemes HaRishus. That's like, That would be Rishus. And then someday they're going to fight us. I mean, I hope that's not in dispute. I mean, but it's not. That's not what the Rambam's talking about. That's not Mulchemes Mitzvah. Mulchemes Mitzvah would be that it's quiet in Gaza, you know, and you go attack Gaza. No, I take that back, because I think even the Chazon Ish would be made into that, because if a country declares that they're at war with us, could be even Egypt's officially at war with us. Could be. No, it's not a peace treaty. No. Okay. If a country declares that they're a country or a group of thugs, whatever it is. Oh, I'm getting political. I said I wrote that fiery. If they declare they're at war with you, so then it's Kfar Bo for sure, even according to the Chazon Ish. That's not even a question. Kfar Bo doesn't have to mean that they shoot first if they're at war with you. But the Aruch HaShulchan says that the Rambam doesn't mean kvar bo'u. He defines mitzar habo aleihem means that they're going to, like, you know they're going to. Like, it's just Lebanon now, let's say. You know they're going to. They have all the missiles pointed. Like, so maybe the Chazon Ish would argue with that. Yeah, it's a dover shesorach iyun, if it would be a Medina run according to Torah. I'm not sure what the difference between Mulchemes Rishus and Mulchemes Mitzvah is, by the way. Because as I say, if you take the Ramban's chiddush that you don't really need a melech, and you take the Hashulchan Chosid's sock that you don't need Urim V'Tumim B'diyevet, it's not Ma'aket, and you take the Chiddush of other people that the Sanhedrin is not functioning as a religious body or a psak body, but it's just representative of the will of the people. And I want to speak out again, many places in Sanhedrin, Masechah Sanhedrin, that's what you see, that Sanhedrin has such a function. So then, not that much of it. Hashulchan Chosid holds a very big Chiddush. He says that the Mulchemes Rishus of the Gemara, that's even a preemptive war, the whole nafkamina of calling it Rishus is l'gabei mi'o ish ha'yori es Hashem, to send people home from fighting in the war. if they meet the criterion of the Meshuach Mulchama, but in a Mulchemes Mitzvah you don't send anybody home. So the Chashulchan says it doesn't mean Rishus that you need a Melech or a Sanhedrin. It says even if you think that. So now it doesn't mean if Israel would attack Spain, because it has to be a reasonable, it has to be a heftza of to stop the Goyim. It has to be preemptive. That just because you say preemptive doesn't make it preemptive. It has to taka be preemptive. And again, I don't mean the Six-Day War is not called preemptive. And the Chazon Ish would certainly be moida, it's poshut by me, that the Chazon Ish would be moida, that that's Mulchemes Mitzvah, b'chol proteh v'tiktukera. You don't have to wait till they shoot first, like they did by Yom Kippur. Tremendous example. You don't have to do it. The Chazon Ish didn't help that what they did in Yom Kippur was right. It's not Shaya. It's not the Stavra. Okay, so that's okay. Now, so there is a gray area which the Chayyim is a machlekes Chazon Ish and Chashulchan Osit, but I don't think it's an intifada. You see, once it's an intifada, that's a declaration of war, so to speak, even if it's not a Medina, but it's a declaration of war. And now there's a declaration of war, then it's already Habalehem. Then it's like you don't have to wait for them. What are you waiting for? They declared war. They're in a state of war. They say they're in a state of war. I saw someone said, it's a very good, you know, that the one thing we learned from Hitler is that someone said they're going to destroy you, you should believe it. That's the one thing that certainly we can learn from him. Okay. So, that was part two. So part one was that Muhammad is a separate chefza with its own set of rules. And we'll talk about who you're allowed to kill in the third part. And the second part was Muhammad's mitzvah, Muhammad's reshus, to be magdir them. The Rambam, the Gemara talks about preemptive war and seems to say to Maskonet reshus. What's the matter? What's the nafkamina of it being reshus? Maybe takanid melech and urim v'tumim v'chulu. But what's the definition of and the Rambam made up his own thing, which is not in the Gemara, which is Lahatzul Yisrael Mitzar Habo Aleihem. Chazon Ish says Ukvar Ba, but I don't think it literally means, you don't have to wait. They're marching. They have 800 missiles pointing at you, 8,000 missiles pointing at you. That's Kvar Ba in my book. I don't know. Yeah. But the Aruch HaShulchan definitely says not like the Chazon Ish. So there's a gray area there. How imminent, how much you're looking into the future. But everybody's minded that if you're just doing it to prevent, it's at least Mulchemes Rishus. And as I say, the Torah talks about Mulchemes Rishus and Hilchos Shabbos. So either, I don't know, Pshat, either you don't need Melech and you don't need Urim Tumim and you don't really need Sanhedrin for the reasons I said, or you can go with the Aruch HaShulchan Osset's Chiddush, that when it comes to a preemptive war, the Gemara calling it Rishus is only Legabe Chazorah Me'orchei HaMulchama. But you don't need Sanhedrin without the Chidushim of, you don't really need a Melech, you don't really need a Sanhedrin, you don't really need an Urim Tumim. The Chashulchan Osset says, anyway, the Gemara is calling that Rishus is only Legabe being Chazorah Me'orchei HaMulchama. The Chashulchan Osset. Okay. So it could be like if someone would say, if Medinas Israel would follow Halacha, they say, are we allowed to attack Egypt just to show them who's boss? Could be a Stalin or a Chazon Ish or Chashulchan. Could be. If someone else would say no, it's not a fantasy. It's like if they would attack Spain. Attacking Egypt is like attacking Spain. Senechanati. You know, it has to be taka preemptive. It can't be just a fantasy that you want to attack someone. Okay, that was the second inyan of Mulchemes Rishus and Mulchemes Mitzvah. Now, who do you kill? So, the Rambam holds there's a mitzvah of Likros L'Shalom, both by Mulchemes Mitzvah and by Mulchemes Rishus. That's a chiddush of the Rambam. I don't know if it's a chiddush. That's what the Rambam Shita is. But what he calls Shalom is not in our world today. He calls Shalom total kniya, and they pay tribute, and they nichna. And you run the place. It's like a protectorate. That's what Kaniya is. And if not, it's called they didn't make Shalom. So now what happens if they don't make Shalom? So the Rambam says you killed the Sechorim. You killed the Sechorim. But that's only Melchemes Rishus. Because that's in the Chumash, you killed the Sechorim. Now who's the Sechorim in the Melchemes Rishus? Again, I'm using Isvara. It's talking about Kisik Rav El Ir, the Pasuk in that context. So you're going to capture a city. So you kill all the Sechorim in the city. That's clear, because they're all deemed to be combatants. You know, that's how the Torah looks at them, the whole city. See in a second. But that's only the Sechorim. You're not allowed to kill the Noshim and Ketan, the Rambam says. But that's only Melchemes Rishus. Oh wait, that's not that. But Amalek and the Zionumos is like Chayakol Neshama. So there's a glaring void. What about Tsar Hatzorer Aleihem? The Rambam talks about Melchemes Rishus, he killed the Sechorim, if they don't accept total Kniya. Melchemes Mitzvah, he only talks about Amalek and Kananim, was Chayakol Neshama, Mochot Timche. Okay, so what about Tsar Hatzorer Eschem? It's like, where'd it go? So by me it's partial that the Rambam didn't mention it. This is, maybe it's a Chiddush, maybe it's not a Chiddush. The Rambam didn't mention it because there's nothing to mention. You do whatever it takes. You're going mitzar haba aleihem, whether you're like the Chazon Ish, it means ukvar ba, whether you interpret the Chazon Ish the way I interpreted it, or you don't, not enough kamina, but, so whatever it takes, you do. Whatever it takes. There's no zcharim, and there's no nekevus, and there's no yelodim. There's no rules. You do whatever it takes to accomplish the goal of lahatzul Yisrael mitzar ha-tzores. And that's when you say, kill Amalek, kill the Knanim, you want to take over the city, so you have to kill the people. So the Torah gives you guidelines. Kill the zcharim, which means, the zcharim means all the zcharim. That's what you see in by Midyan. I mean, there they killed in the Kavos too, because they were Machti B'nai Yisrael. Again, a separate issue, I can go into it now. But they killed the Sechorim, and the Sechayek on the Shama. But when you're coming to the Matzul Yisrael, Mitzah HaTzor Eschem, so then you kill everybody, you kill whoever it takes. That's first of all.
Not necessarily all the Sechorim?
What?
Not necessarily all the Sechorim?
No, that's what I'm saying, that's why Rambam doesn't mention it, because you know, there's no scharm, there's only caves, there's no taf. It's lahatzul yitzol mitzar hatzor reisam. So whatever it takes. And en chanami, if you do something that's not necessary, lahatzul Yisrael, so you're not allowed to. And you're not capturing a city. You know, kisik of al ir, so you kill the scharm. But if you're just stopping them, lahatzul yitzol mitzar hatzor reisam, so you do whatever it takes to win. You do whatever it takes to stop them. That's what I think. That's why the Rambam doesn't mention it. Now, again, there's a medrash based on Sheish Meyois Rechev Bochur by Mitzrayim, Toiv Shebemitzrim, kill. So there's a medrash that phrases it that kill Goyim B'Shas Mulchama, even if they appear to be good people. And this is not just a medrash, but it's actually Nitzak in Yeridaya. So min Kufnun Ches Aleph. Yeridaya Kufnun Ches Aleph says, Goyim she'ein beinenu beinehem mulchama. Again, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about mulchama. Goyim that there's no mulchama, so you're not allowed to kill them. You don't have to save their lives. Only if they darki shalom or Eva, you have to save their lives, but it's not the same as saving a Jew's life. Okay, but that's if there's no Muhammad. But if there's Muhammad, so then you're not letting Rachna. So then the Berhetev says, but the different Berhetev ground up, Abu Bashas Muhammad, then of course you kill them. The Amrina Tov Shebegoyim Harog. But it means Bashas Muhammad. I mean, it's clearly Bashas Muhammad, that's what you see in all the sources. And it means Bishas Mukhama. So what's it talking about? So, I don't know, it's not so clear to me what it's talking about. If they're soldiers, and they're fighting you, so why do you need a special din of Tov Shebegoyim Harog? If they're soldiers, who cares if they're... So maybe it means it doesn't matter if they're good people, not good people. I don't know. unless, I don't know, I mean, it means to decimate the army and not a Rachmanis. There is a Mishnah in Saita, the Mishnah that talks about Muhammad, says that don't be, you're not allowed to have Rachmanis when you go to war. You're putting everybody in a sakana. The Lashon is, they're not going to have Rachmanis on you. You can't have Rachmanis on them. Now, there's a famous story, you know, there's a couple streets in Eretz Yisrael called Lamed Hay. And the story there is that they went to Gush Etzion and they were going to help them and save them, and they saw this Arab, old Arab shepherd, and they're declaring he's going to tell that they're on the way, because they were, it wasn't known. They were, and they decided not to kill him. He didn't know Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim. He was an old Arab shepherd, a harmless guy walking around. And he taka went and told, and that was they got killed. That's the Lamed Hay, that they killed those people that are coming to save the Gush Etzion people. That led to the whole fall of Gush Etzion. And this really is a Mishnah in Saita, that you're not allowed to Rachmanis. When Yisrael fought Yehuda, which is like a fascinating topic in itself, like what was the gather of that Muhammad? So that was Muhammad's Rishus, obviously. But they certainly didn't have the sanction of the Sanhedrin or Rum Batumim. They just were fighting with each other. But so there you have Rachmanis, because the other one will have Rachmanis on you too. When you're fighting a bitter enemy, it's not going to have Rachmanis on you. So it's also to be Merachim, and you're just putting everybody else in a sarkana if you're Merachim. The Rambam writes, no, he's not the Rambam. Oh, there's a famous story of Acha, the Nach. Nobody knows Nach, so it's not so famous. That he went to war against Hadad ben Bedad from Aram. There was a whole story. He did it, covered it in Sefer Torah. He gave him all his money and he gave him everything. And then he said, "I want the Sefer Torah." So he went to war. But then, and they was very successful in the war. But then the Avodim of Ben Hadad said that Malchei Yisrael and Malchei Chesed, let's make believe we're coming and they'll have Rachmanis on us. I don't know. Now, by the Goyim, there's a thing called surrender. In the Rambam, there's a thing called surrender also, but that needs total kaniyah. It's not just because you wave a white flag and lift up your hands. You need the kaniyah that the Rambam described, which is a very extreme kaniyah. But here, so I don't know what happened here, but he said, Malchei Yisrael is Malchei Chesed, and let's go and we'll ask for mercy. And Achav Taka treated him very royally, one king to another. And of course, 3 years later, Hadad killed Achav. Because that's what he did. And that's really Gemara in Saita, that you know, whatever won us in the war. And that's why I say the value of Rachmanis is not in the war, then you're just putting everybody else in a sakana. Okay. What about, so the Maral says in Gerari again by Bilam that the reason they killed Bilam is because he went to be Mechazik then in their war against the Midian. So Lechora, that's if they give chizuk and if they impede, I don't know if in Hilchos Milchama what the rules are, but certainly you can extrapolate from Rodef that even an Uber could be a Rodef. Right? He doesn't mean to do anything, but he's in the way. He's stopping the Hatzalah. And if there's someone stopping the Hatzalah, you can kill an Ulster in Dinroidev if he's stopping the Hatzalah. There's a famous Rambam in Hilchos, Hilchos Chevel Umazik, that if you're in a boat and it's capsizing because it's too heavy, you could throw people's luggage overboard. And he says the luggage is a Roidev. The luggage is a Roidev. So anything that's putting your life in danger is automatically midin roidif. Now that's already roidif. I'm talking about some midin mulchama. Basically, I don't know. Again, that's what it means. Tov sheba goyim harog is b'mulchama. Anybody that would impede victory, anybody that would impede, you know, is no worse than an Uber. I think you can extrapolate from dinei roidif to that. Okay.
Bilam was a rodent, or he was a combatant?
Who?
Bilam.
Bilam is Sakin Milchama.
Well,
he wasn't a combatant. He only went to give chizuk, but that's called Milchama. Yeah, that's my only source I could find beferish in Milchama. Otherwise, all my sources that a roidif doesn't have to be a direct roidif, but even an inadvertent roidif, or non-kavona roidif, or you're causing an impediment to the Hatzalah. So you have, like, the Uber, the suitcase. Dar Sameach says if someone is causing a snake to kill you, he's getting a snake to go bite you. So if he would do it, he would be potter from Misa, right? Because he's only a groma. That's what we paskin. But when he's doing it, he's a roitif, even though it's only a groma. So that's our Sameach. So Lachari, you could I'm going to stop now, but I want to close with a final thought that if the Medina Israel would act al pi Torah, so then what's going on now, if they would act al pi Torah, so what's going on now is a tremendous taiva for Klal Yisrael. Because if they would only be like the Fedayeen in the 60s, maybe 70s, maybe even 80s, so then it would be preemptive, and you would have maybe Sfeikus, if it's Mechemes Rishus, and maybe you can only kill Zecharim, and maybe you can only do this, and maybe you're not let it go, and maybe because it's only Mechemes Rishus. But now that they've declared war with the Intifada, so if we would act up the Halacha, I think it's a tremendous taiva. Now there's no rules, there shouldn't be any hesitation. There's no Zecharim, there's no Nekevis, there's no Taf. Everybody is a combatant. Because of the way they do it, everybody's a combatant. At the very least, everybody's stopping Hatzalah. So, ironically, I think it makes, if the Medina would act al pi Torah, it makes it much easier to go wipe them out. It wouldn't be so poshut, like the Chazon Ish says. It's not so poshut if every once in a while they would terrorize and then kill somebody. Then it wouldn't be so poshut that you can just smash them down.
Well, you're only allowed to use, the Rav said that you're only allowed to use enough to take away the immediate.
I didn't say that, not only immediate, if he's going to come. By a Moser, it says, again, this is Shulchan Aruch, if someone's Muchzot to be a Moser, so you assume he's going to do it again, and you kill him now, even if he did it already. Now it's too late to stop him. But if he's Muchzot to be a Moser, so you kill him because you use, you know, he's muchzuk to be a mosque. He's going to do it again. And anyway, they declared war. That's the milah. It has a certain milah that they declared war. That they say, so now you don't have to, there's no limits. They're always at war. Till they're nichna. Till they're destroyed. They declared war. So it actually, I was thinking, has a milah. Like the Eibishter, okay, the problem is that the Medina Israel is not following the rules of Milchama and the Torah. But if they would, this would actually be a blessing in disguise. Maybe not to the people who are killed, but it really is, because it frees any, like, limitations on what you do. Because now they declared war on us, and now it's Mitzar HaTzorah Eschem. Even according to the Chazon Ish, it's Baal Eichem Kvar, and it has a din of Mechemes Mitzvah. And, you know, you do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Okay, one more thing, just to mention that.
What's the relevance of only if Dino's getting halacha? Everyone else?
No, I'm telling you that it's a Chesed Hashem that it's happening. If the Medina is doing the way they're doing, which is that the Ikka Nakudas Atos of the Medina is to treat it like a crime, not like a mulchama. They caught the guy planning to terror, to kill people in the Malchamor. It's in today's news. They brought up the court, and there's an indictment. Shtuyot, I mean, it's ridiculous. This is why it's a sakana. Terrible, terrible. It's a war. So if someone's planning to kill you in a war, you kill them. You don't bring them to court.
So what's the relevance for us whether the Medina's doing it?
No, I'm saying, I'm calling it a Chesed Hashem. It would be the Chesed is, if the Medina would be al pi Torah, it would be a tremendous Chesed that they're declaring war on us. Because it frees our hand in dealing with it. it puts it out of Mulchemes Rishus, possibly to Mulchemes Mitzvah. But the Medina's not acting on Pitaira, so it's just the deepening of the Tzara of Chavli Mashiach. I could see it's a Chesed Hashem if we would be reacting properly, because it completely frees us to demolish them and to smash them. Otherwise, it's like Egypt. You know, you want to attack Egypt, it's not called a preemptive war. It's not like Egypt, they declared war on us, so you go. So it's really a chesed. It's not a chesed, it's a deepening of Chavli Mashiach. It's because the Medina acts the way it acts. So.